Welcome to the Financial Analyst Journal Author Interview Series. I am Rodney Sullivan, Head of Publications and Editor of the Financial Analyst Journal at CFA Institute. We're here today with Roger Ibbotson to discuss his recent FAJ article titled Liquidity as an Investment Style, published in the May-June 2013 issue of the FAJ. Roger, thanks so much for being here with us today.
Great to be here.
Roger, in this interview series, as you know, we invite our authors to discuss their articles with us. So let's dive right in with the first question. First, what was the practical issue or issues that motivated you to do your research?
Well, it comes back to economics, where you look in advance and say, what would be the things that most impact returns if you just think of this logically? And any thought of assets, whether it's stock or bond markets, would say that it's risk and liquidity that have the most impact on returns. And in bond markets, you can actually see this in the yields. In stock markets, it's not as viable. And so once you have an economic reason, that actually translates to, actually Bill Sharpe in 1992 came up with four reasons that would identify an investment style. The first one was identifiable before the fact. Well, that's really, you have to have it make, something has to make economic sense first. And liquidity does make economic sense because everybody knows that you'd prefer to buy something more liquid, you'd pay a lower price for something less liquid. Therefore, something less liquid is likely to have higher returns. So I'll just continue on a little bit on this. Bill Sharpe also came up with, in 1992, four other measures. He said, well, you can't be easily beaten. In other words, it really has to be something that actually does create a lot of extra returns. It has to be different than the styles that have been already identified, like size or value or perhaps momentum. And it has to be really low in cost so that you can easily put together a portfolio of this and not have to, it's not a trading strategy so much as it is a way of actually getting long-run returns.
So, Roger, how did you and your co-authors approach the issue in your paper?
Well, we approached the issue essentially, you start out by measuring the returns. Now, so much of academic research actually focuses on means and standard deviations and t-statistics and so forth. But one shouldn't forget that it's actually the compound return of an investable portfolio that investors earn. And when you look at those compound returns, particularly with strategies that actually are lower risk, there can be substantially bigger differences in compound returns than you might find in arithmetic mean returns. So I actually think this is, of course, some people debated us on this point, but we actually think this is an important feature that if you're really looking for a long-term style, something that will actually produce returns that are hard to beat, they have to actually do it in an investable way. And we put together essentially portfolios that were totally investable. They were equally weighted, at least at the start, until they got rebalanced at times. But they were always investable, and then we looked at the investable returns. And that's one of the things about arithmetic means. They're really not investable. It's only those compound returns that are actually earned that are investable. So we did this in a number of ways. We did it in isolation, where less liquid quartiles of stocks actually had a return roughly about 14.5%, where the more liquid quartiles had a return of a little over 7%. So big spreads there. We did it in cross comparisons with the acceptable, I guess, the known styles of size, value, and momentum. And in each category, whether you're looking at a small cap stock or a large cap stock, there was a gain from buying the stocks that were less liquid. It was true for high value stocks. It was true for growth stocks. It's true for high momentum stocks. It's true for low momentum stocks. So even after comparing it to any particular different style, there was always a payoff by buying the less liquid stocks compared to the more liquid stocks.
And Roger, how do you anticipate or hope that your findings will influence practice?
Well, actually, I think this is one of the most practical studies that you could have, because it basically tells you how to get long-run returns. Of course, you have to give up something that everybody wants. I guess the real key here is you get long-run returns by buying the types of stocks that other people don't want. For example, generally, people don't want small caps necessarily. They're harder to buy. They don't want value stocks, perhaps. Those are maybe more behavioral reasons why they wouldn't buy those value stocks. But in general, you get a higher return by buying the things that other people don't want to buy. And the less liquid stocks is sort of prototypical, actually. It probably makes more sense than any of these other styles, that less liquid stocks are stocks that other investors don't want to hold. And if you actually, especially if you have somewhat longer horizons, if you're not a day trader or something like that, and these stocks, by the way, are pretty liquid because we're just talking about publicly traded companies, but all of these categories of stocks actually are perhaps less desired, less wanted for some reason or another, and that leads to higher returns. So it goes all the way back to what I first mentioned here. There's an economic reason why less liquid stocks have higher returns than more liquid stocks. And, of course, it comes back to a practical reason why some people would want to hold them. Not the people who trade highly every day or something like that, but for those longer-term investors, they would get the benefit of having the higher returns, and they wouldn't have to actually suffer the perhaps the extra costs, extra transaction costs, and so forth of trading these stocks. So it has a very strong benefit to the long-term investor who doesn't need immediate liquidity at all times.
Roger, thank you so much for sharing your practical research with us. We very much appreciate your time and attention. Readers, we encourage you to read this article and other articles from CFA Institute publications on our website at cfapubs.org, and thank you so much for listening.